is a rum.
Is a rock.
He's a rum.
Yes, he is.
In our favorite land.
Be there when you need
him. Jesus is a rum.
Yes, he will.
In our favorite land.
Oh, he'll be there when you need him.
Jesus is a rum.
I know he
he's
will.
He's a rum. In our favorite land.
Have you ever had
Jesus
to go there?
Jesus is a rum.
Yeah.
In our favorite land.
I said he's a strong tower.
Jesus is a rum.
And your doctor's now.
He's a rum.
Yes, he is.
In our favorite land.
Let me say this now.
Jesus is
let
a rum.
Let him rock you.
In our favorite land.
When you
land.
In trouble, I'm going to say it one more time.
Jesus
let
is a rum.
Rock you.
He's
when
a rum.
Despair.
In our favorite land.
Can I say this one now?
Jesus
for me.
Is
let
a rum.
Let him rock you.
In our favorite land.
When people that turn their backs on you. Yes, he will.
Jesus
he
is a
rum. Right in.
He's a
yes,
rum.
He will.
In our favorite
he will
land.
Stand right in here. Yes,
Jesus
he will.
Jesus is a rum.
Why don't you call him?
In our favorite land.
Call on Jesus when you need
Jesus
a friend.
Jesus is a rum.
Call on Jesus.
He's a rum.
When you need someone to lean on.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
88.1.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I don't know how you made it in 2013, but there are a few witnesses here who can testify that it took a lot of prayer. Amen. Anybody know that prayer will work it out? Somebody said prayer changes things. I thank God for prayer. Amen. And as I stand, I do want to wish a happy birthday to Sister Millie Green. Amen. Happy birthday to you. And then the leader of my pet ministry, as y'all call it, Sister Bill will be celebrating her 30th birthday. She's a New Year's baby. Amen. God bless you. And to anybody else who's celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you as well. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And we thank you, God, because we realize that it is in you that we live and we move and we have our being. And God, apart from you, we can do nothing. Father, we ask now that you would speak a word into the hearts and into the minds of your people, that they will hear your word and know that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you for the blessings we receive now. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. 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 I want to, on this last Sunday of 2013, I want to call your attention to the book of Joshua. Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 8 verses of Joshua chapter 1. Amen. When you found it, say amen. If you don't have it yet, look on the screen. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then finally, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, say then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. As we close out this year of 2013, and as we prepare to cross over into the year 2014, I just have a funny feeling. I have a sneaky suspicion that the people of God in the house of God are interested in knowing how you can have a prosperous and successful new year. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Viktor Frankl said that one of the key survival techniques of the human spirit is that if one can find something to live for, if one can find something with meaning to put at the center of their lives, then even the worst kind of suffering becomes bearable. When I realize that there is something in my future that is better for me, when I have hope, I can overcome many, if not all, of life's obstacles. As I look toward my future, it is very clear to me that if I am to attain all of the promises that God has for me, if I am to reach my destiny, if I am to fulfill my life's mission, then I must be relentless in pursuit of my destiny. Because my brothers and sisters, if not, I will allow myself to be poisoned by the toxicity of my comfort zone. Too much comfort will make you sit in the same place for too long. All of us here today are aware of the fact that apathy can be a hindrance to fulfilling one's destiny. There is a spirit that pervades the body of Christ called procrastination. But the truth of the matter is that once you become aware of the purposes of God for your life, you realize that stagnation and apathy are the enemies to you reaching your destiny. Everything that God does, he does on purpose. Hunt your neighbor and tell him he does it on purpose. He knows exactly when to call us out of places of comfort and stagnation. He knows how to bring you to the right place on the right date at the right time to hear the right word to push you toward your destiny. God has already ordained something awesome and extraordinary in your life, and you're here today and you recognize and realize that every fiber in your being is agreeing with what I'm saying because God has already said it to you. And so as we prepare to enter into a new year, I stop by to tell somebody that there's something on the inside of you that is saying it's time for you to walk into your destiny. So God has, he's called me to speak to someone today and tell you that you need to prepare your heart. You need to prepare your mind. You need to prepare your spirit for a shift that is about to take place in your life. Is there anybody who feels it in their spirit that God is about to shift you from where you've been to something greater? Where you have been, God wants to move you from there. What you've been going through, God wants to move you from there. As a matter of fact, there's something on the inside of you that is getting ready to bring forth. It's time for it to come into fruition, for it to be made manifest, because God has placed something inside of you that is not for you. It's for the good of somebody else. It's for the good of his kingdom. And I need you to see today that what you're experiencing was in many ways the same for Joshua in our text. Joshua walked with Moses for 40 years. Joshua was born in Egypt. Therefore, Joshua experienced all of the same things that Moses experienced. Joshua experienced all of the things that the children of Israel experienced. Joshua was there during the Passover. He was there during their exodus out of Egypt. Joshua was there when God turned water into blood. Joshua was there when God covered the land of Egypt with frogs and locusts. Joshua was there when the death angel rode through Egypt's land and killed all of the firstborn who did not have the blood of the lamb on the lintel of their doorpost. Joshua was there when God wrapped himself up in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Joshua was there when they crossed the Red Sea walking on dry ground. Joshua was there as they wandered through the wilderness. Joshua was there when they came to the land of Canaan. Joshua, as a matter of fact, was one of the two spies who came back with the good report. You Bible readers will remember when Moses sent out 12. Joshua was one of the ones who came back and said, "We can take the land." He said, "It's not as bad as it looks." Joshua was there during intimate moments when Moses went to the mountain of God. Joshua was his servant. He was his assistant. As a matter of fact, as God used Moses to fulfill his earthly mission, Joshua was there supporting the ministry of Moses. Joshua was there undergirding the work that God had given to Moses. Joshua was there encouraging Moses and supporting Moses all of the way. He supported the vision. He supported the visionary. Can I get a witness today? And then the text lets us know that Moses died. Tell your neighbor, Moses died. My brothers and sisters, this had to be a difficult moment, a difficult time for the children of Israel, but it had to be really difficult for Joshua. It had to be almost unbearable because the one that Joshua looked up to, the one who mentored Joshua, was now dead. And I need you to understand, people of God, that if you're going to have good success, as this passage tells us, you can have good success. One of the first principles that we can glean from this passage is the principle of reciprocity. Reciprocity. Joshua, watch this. Joshua could only expect to reap the blessings of God as he had sown into the ministry of Moses. The principle of reciprocity. Yes, the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. Do I have a witness today? So many times in our lives, we want the blessings of God, but we don't realize that in order to get the blessings of God, we have to have been a blessing to somebody else. And I want to ask someone a question today. When God is ready to transition you to another level, when God gets ready to promote you to a higher place, when your time of shifting comes, will you be prepared for the shift because you've learned how to be a servant to somebody else? Oh, I ought to have one witness today. Will you be prepared for the promotion because you didn't mind serving or helping or encouraging someone else? It's funny to me, y'all, how sometimes people act like it will kill them to speak an encouraging word to somebody else. It ain't going to take nothing. You're not going to die if you pat somebody on the back and tell them you did a good job. It ain't going to kill you, amen, to tell somebody you did an awesome job. You were wonderful today. But some of us get so high-minded and beside ourselves that we act like it's going to kill us to encourage somebody else. It's funny to me how sometimes people act as though it will diminish who they are to speak well of someone else. But people of God, I've come by to tell you today that you've got to realize that the blessings of God redound to those who know how to serve somebody else. The blessings of God are bestowed upon those who don't mind being an encouragement to someone else, supporting someone else, being a blessing to someone else. And do you know what happens? Many times we cut ourselves and our children and our children's children off from promotion and prosperity because of our evil and hard-hearted ways. So if you're going to be properly positioned for promotion and for prosperity, you need to make sure that you understand the principle of reciprocity. You shall reap what you sow. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen. So the first principle that we can glean from the life of Joshua is reciprocity. But then the next principle that we can get from this text as it relates to our future prosperity and our future success is the principle of responsibility. Because a lot of times we want to go higher. We want promotion. We want more, but we fail to realize that with more comes more. Do I have a witness today? Amen. More responsibility. I'm sure that Joshua must have been in a very fearful and anxious place in his life. I think we can deduce that from some of the words that we find in the text. God tells him to be strong. God tells him to be courageous. I'm sure that in Joshua's mind, Moses was going to live forever. But now with the death of Moses, he realizes that the responsibility is what? On him now. Amen. We have to be very careful, people of God, when we look at people in places of position and prestige and get jealous and envious. We have to be very careful not to think that everything is wonderful up there. How many young people look at stars, amen, the singers and the athletes and think, oh, I would love to be like him or I would love to be like her. And then down the road, down the way, you find out that they commit suicide or that they're in rehab because of drug addiction, because their lives many times are plagued with problems. Do I have a witness today? So you've got to be careful. There's a tremendous burden of responsibility that comes with promotion, that comes with leadership, that comes with success. You've heard me say before that people love success, but they hate successful people. Oh, if you don't believe me, just get a little success in your life. Amen. Just get a paycheck away from poverty, and you will develop some haters. Do I have any witnesses here today? Just get your tuition paid, amen. You'll get some haters, amen. They don't care that you got to pay those loans back, amen. They're jealous because you're in college trying to make something out of your life. I'm here today to tell you people love success, but they hate successful people. I'm reminded of the great and glorious day when President Barack Hussein Obama became the first African-American president of the United States of America. Y'all remember that, don't you? Amen. I can't help but remember Brother Thompson, the teeming masses that gathered around him as he made his acceptance speech in Chicago. It seemed like people came out of nowhere. Thousands of people. And then he did this worldwide tour. He went all around the world. And wherever he went, there were hundreds of thousands of people waiting to hear him speak. Oh, but just keep on living. Amen, amen, amen. As long as things are going well, the responsibility is undergirded with accolades and commendations. But just as soon as something goes wrong, or things don't fall in place the way people would like, or as soon as you got to tell somebody no, or as soon as you have to put somebody in their proper place, amen, those folk who used to praise you and give you pats on your back, you can't find them anymore. Can I get a witness today? Oh, I've got a witness. Jesus is a witness. When the Jews, they thought they had a Messiah who would come and put Rome in its place, as long as they thought they had a Messiah who would continue to perform miracles and do mighty acts, they were willing to follow him and sing loud hosannas and glory be to God in the highest. But as soon as they realized that he didn't come to reign over Rome, he came to reign over the world and ultimately to lay down his life and die, the same folk that were clapping and giving him praises turned their backs on him. So you need to understand, amen. I know a lot of you are praying, Lord, in 2014, I want more. In 2014, I want promotion and I want more blessings and I want more of this and more of that and greater this and greater that. But I need you to remember that with more comes more responsibility. Do I have a witness today? Amen. I'm talking to somebody who's getting ready to shift. And ain't no need in your haters being mad about it. God is getting ready to transition you to something greater. But he told me to come by and tell you to get yourself ready for more responsibility. That brings us to our next point. And that is that before God will place you in a new position, tell your neighbor he will refine you. I like what Paul says. Paul says in essence that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those whom he calls. You see, Moses was Joshua's mentor, and whether or not Joshua knew it, he was in training for reigning. Y'all will get that when you get home. Because many of us don't realize that we're in a real sense in the university of adversity. See, some of y'all didn't get a chance to go to Southern or Grambling or LSU, amen. But there are two or three folk in the house who can say, I've been to the university. I've been to the university of adversity. I've had to go through some stuff. And all of those things that I've gone through have taught me a lesson. God is literally taking you through a series of events, some of which it seems you can't handle right now. But you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that God is taking you through. Some of what you're going through is not for your right now. It's for your destiny. It's for your tomorrow. It's for your 2014. Some of the stuff that you had to go through in 2013 was not for 2013. It was to prepare you for 2014. Tell your neighbor, it's for my future. And I believe I have some witnesses today who know that preparation doesn't always feel good, but it is necessary to get you to the place where God is trying to take you. There are many people who want to be delivered out of places that God is developing them in. I just said something. Back up, rewind. I said, there are some folk who are praying, God, deliver me from some places that God is using those places to develop you. Do I have a witness today? Sometimes God has to leave us there because it's part of the refinement process. How many of you can look back over your life and recall a time when you were experiencing some hurt or some pain, and while you were in it, you were crying out to God, deliver me out of this. But now that you've come through it, you can look back on that you experienced with joy, knowing that if you hadn't gone through that, what you've gone through, you wouldn't be the person you are right now. Do I have a witness today? Everything you went through, you realize that it was preparing you for what God was taking you to. That's why I learned how to thank God for fake friends, because now I know what real friends look like. That's why I can thank God for every time that I was broke, because now when I get a quarter in my pocket, I give God the praise. I can thank God for those times that I was sick, because now that I feel good, I can say, God, I thank you for every mountain, for every valley, for every storm that you brought me through, because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know he could solve them. I thank God today. Give him praise. And I realized that it was all a part of the refinement process. Do you know that no world-class athlete becomes great by just reading books or watching film? Tell your neighbor, at some point, you got to get in the game. Oh my, oh my, oh my. You've got to stop asking God to create opportunities that you're not prepared to walk into. You've got to stop asking God to expand your territory and you can't handle the small place where you are right now. You've got to get yourself together. That's why you don't have time to be around crazy people. I ain't got time for gossiping people. I don't have time for messy people. People who are not doing anything but sitting around talking about other people. You need to look them in the face and tell them, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy getting myself ready for my responsibility. I'm too busy getting myself prepared for what the Lord is taking me to. Y'all better get some sense in your heads and learn how to walk away from some people. There's some folk that God put in your life in 2013 that were only meant to be there in 2013. And between now and the 31st, you're going to have to make up in your mind. You're going to have to get your list of some folk that you know can't go with you in 2014. There are some folk that are holding you back. There are some folk that are keeping you back. There are some folk that are hindering you from being what God wants you to be. And so God tells Joshua. He tells him, number one, to rise up. If you're going to do more in 2014, you got to get off your blessed assurance. He said, Joshua, rise up. Rise up. I get sick of folk talking about what they finna do. I'm finna go. Amen. And don't ever, amen. God says, rise up. Tell your neighbor, rise up, rise up. God tells him to rise up. And y'all, he tells him, he says, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread, it's going to be yours. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers take that out of context and get folk to thinking, amen, that you just name it and claim it. And they go to the car lot, amen, amen, putting their hands on Mercedes Benz. When you got a Hyundai budget, talking about naming it and claiming it, amen, you better get some credit. I need to put it in context. Amen. Cause please, amen. I thank God for my old expedition out there, but amen. Don't get it twisted. Don't get out there walking around my truck. I'm gonna have this. Amen. No, that's mine. Don't be up in nobody's house, pacing around through their house, talking about that house is gonna be yours. No, that's not what it meant. Amen. Don't be laying claim on some other man's wife, some other woman's husband. Tell your neighbor, what God has for me, it's for me. And instead of trying to get what I got, you ought to trust God enough to believe that he can give you something better than what I've got. I don't understand haters. I don't understand folk, amen, who are always riding around and walking around with their mouth poked out, complaining about what other folk got. If you stop watching other folk, maybe you could hear from God long enough to let him bless you. Is there anybody in here today who knows that if God is blessing your neighbor, you ought to have joy just because he's in your neighborhood? If he's in your neighborhood, if you trust him long enough, if you stop sitting there and open your mouth and give him some praise. I heard Sister Tinsley say that when praises go up, blessings will come down. Is there anybody here today? You're not trying to get what somebody else has. You trust that God is going to give you something better
something greater. Give him praise in this place.